Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
Let's scratch up, please. Thank you. We've got to this wonderful place in Exodus, Exodus 6, and we're just going to read that, if you can read that. There's a lot on that first slide. I'm going to read it out. Should we read it together? So group participation, yeah? Therefore, say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. And I will bring you to the land I swore with uplifted hand to give to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob. I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord. Amen. There's four points there, really, with the ethos of where, who we are and where we're going. There's a discipleship pathway. And obviously from that scripture, Pastor Clive, the Lord sort of revealed it to his heart, a fair while ago. And the whole process of discipleship, where we're moving, and there are four steps. I just want to connect us into the freedom course. This is just a reminder again. Let's remind ourselves of the four things that God's going to do for his people. It's a clear, discipleship pathway that is planned for every person. This is amazing. The first is he brings you out of Egypt. So that he wants to save people out of the power of sin and captivity so that they can know God. Just say to your neighbor, God's brought me out of Egypt. Amen. It's true. To know God, isn't that amazing? The first thing, care of the next slide, please. Thank you. That's it. To know God. Brought us out of captivity, brought us out of bondage, to know him personally. The second thing was to free them from slavery. And that's a great one. Sometimes that seems a forever process, but it's to get Egypt out of them. And what God does is he transforms our mind. He transforms our hearts. He renews us. He makes us new creations. The old has gone and the new has come. I am a new creation. Remember the song? Showing my age there. I'm not going to sing it. No more in condemnation. Here in the grace of God I stand. And I'm always going to go into the chorus, but I'm restraining myself there. So once someone has given their life to God, he wants them to find freedom. Finding freedom is really finding a person. And his name is Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. When you find freedom, you find the reality of who Jesus is. And we can live in that freedom every day because of what he's accomplished through the power of the cross and through what he has achieved for us. The third thing was to restore them to their purpose. As we live in that new freedom, we can discover our purpose. When we have a clear purpose, we can walk in the gifting and passion as God has given to them. When I was praying about this, over the last 2 weeks, it hasn't just been a week or a day, it's been 2 weeks prep for this, all right? The Lord just said, just imagine this amazing sort of mosaic of jigsaw. And actually, you are a unique person. You're a unique person chosen to fulfill a plan that God has for you that no one else can fulfill. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? The destiny on your life. And so in a sense, God has got a plan for you, but it's according to his purpose. And fourthly, God would take them as his own people and bring them into the fulfillment of all his wonderful promises. So enables them to be fruitful and make a difference. We can't be fruitful in our own strength. We can only be fruitful in the power of the Holy Spirit. That just sets the scene of a pathway. And can I have Proverbs 20, verse 24, please? Okay. A man's steps are directed by the Lord. How then can anyone understand his own way? How? How do we do this? a man steps, another version says, many are the plans of a man's heart, but the Lord determines our steps. Did you know the Lord is determining your steps? Amen. Did you know that he's interested in every step you take? Why? Because he's got a great plan for you and he wants to see that fulfilled. Not just for the sake of your own life, but as Andrew has said this morning, for the sake of someone else's life. The steps of the godly, we walk in wisdom as we walk in that. It's always a wise decision to follow God's plan for our lives and not our own. We please do not want to be the Frank Sinatras again, do we? I did it my way. The saddest song at funerals. We don't want to do that because that won't accomplish. We want to do it God's way. He wants to direct every aspect of our lives in a place of love and out of a place of love through relationship with us. There's one important thing that we kind of forget there. He is our Savior. Praise God, I've been saved. I've been, you know, redeemed. He's paid the price for what he's done. He paid the full price on the cross. But yes, he's your Savior, but he's also your Lord. Now that one bites in a little bit because when we say that, it's quite a difficult, have you realized it's quite a difficult thing to say no to the Lord? Who's going to win out of that contest? It's not usually going to be us. And, for really, you know, yes, he's our Savior, but he's also our Lord. That means that we want to walk in step with him. We want to walk in line with where he's walking, because as we do that, as we follow where he's going, you know, for me, I've been at Kingdom Faith now 27 years. 27 years. Me and Rachel started out in the Bible school, and God has had the privilege of going all over the world with Pastor Colin, involved in worship all over the world, lots of stuff like that. We started out on a journey where we, in a position where we left what we knew, and then by faith we went on this journey. And this journey has been the most challenging journey, but it's been the most exciting journey. It challenged the flesh, it challenged our lives. But you see, what God has brought us through in that period of time, it wasn't just about what he wanted to do with us. It was about what he wanted to do through us to touch someone else's life. That's his heart. Yeah? Christ in me, the hope of glory, flowing out to touch someone else. Proverbs 16:9. We had that one already. Yeah, we can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. For many, I think learning to discern his voice through reading God's word will enable us to keep in step with him. How do we know that? Your word is a lamp unto your feet. I praise God that we have the word, because that word enables us to take the steps that we need to take. It illuminates our path, and it's a path of freedom, it's a path of holiness, and it's a path of grace. So we're not trying to do this in our own strength. Isn't it wonderful? Now, Job 23:11, I found this the other day. In the Message version. I followed him closely, my feet in his footsteps, not once swerving from his way. Is that how you want to walk with God? Now, Job went through some testing times, didn't he? Where God, you know, he had to go through some stuff where God, you know, it's almost everything was taken from him. But I followed him closely, my feet in his footsteps. Not one swerving from his way. Now, I just want you just to use your holy imagination now. Imagine the Lord giving you a dream one day. You and the Lord Jesus are walking down the road together. For much of the way, the Lord's footprints go along steadily, consistently, rarely varying the pace. So God is just walking consistently ahead. But your footprints are disorganized stream of zigzags, stops, starts, turnarounds, circles, departures. Have you ever felt like that in life sometimes? It's been a bit like that. Do you know what I mean? For much of the way it seems, I got giddy then, for much of the way it seems to go like this, but gradually your footprints come more into line with the Lord's, soon paralleling his consistently. You and Jesus are walking as true friends. This seems perfect. And then an interesting thing happens. Your footprints, which once etched the sand next to Jesus, are now walking precisely in his steps. Inside his larger footprints are your smaller ones. You and Jesus are becoming one. This goes on for many miles, but gradually you notice another change. The footprints inside the large footprints seem to grow even larger. Eventually, they disappear altogether. There is only one set of footprints. They have become one. This goes on for a long time. But suddenly, the second set of footprints is back, zigzags all over the place, stops and starts. Gashes in the sand, a veritable mess of prints. This time it seems even worse. You are amazed and shocked, and your dream ends. Oh, imagine yourself waking up with that. You pray, Lord, I understand the first scene with zigzags and fits. I was a new Christian, and I was just learning. But you walked on through the storm and helped me to learn to walk with you. And he spoke softly, that is correct. And when the smaller footprints were inside of yours, I was actually learning to walk in your footsteps. I followed you very closely, and he answered, very good. You have understood everything so far. When the smaller footprints grew and filled in yours, I suppose I was becoming like you in every way. And he beamed. Just turn to your neighbor and beam. Just smile. Beam. Genuine beam there. Do a genuine beam, a real loving beam. Yeah. I need to borrow Rachel in a minute here. Don't worry, don't worry. So, Lord, was there a regression? Or something, the footprints separating, the seeming chaos was worse than the first. There is a pause as the Lord answers with a smile in his voice. If you can ever have a smile. Okay, stand up, Rachel. You didn't know? You didn't know? That was when we danced. That was when we danced. Even if you're not quite ready to dance, try to at least envision yourself dancing again. Every worthwhile accomplishment starts with vision. We are encouraged in the book of James, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. See, this is without question the most important step. When we position ourselves with the Lord, the circumstances around us lose their power to imprison us. Amen. When we position ourselves with the Lord, the circumstances around us lose their power to imprison us. Paul and Silas, weren't they amazing in the prison? What did they do? Okay, Rachel, it's a time, it's an opportunity. We don't get this often. What did they do? What did Paul and Silas do? They danced. Oh, man.
Maybe not quite like
that. Not closely together. I know. But Paul and Silas, do you know what I mean? What was the reality of their freedom was living on the inside, and it was expressed in hearts of worship that was so powerful that they broke through every prison that was confined in them. And that expression of worship and that expression of freedom brought them into liberty and brought them into breakthrough, not only for their own lives, but all those who were around with them. The chains fell off. The doors were open. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
Freedom looks like something. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Freedom sounds like something. Taste and see that the Lord is good. You're going to love this scripture now. Philippians 4. You really are going to love this one. Rejoice in the Lord. What does it say?
Always.
What does always mean?
Always.
Do we often quite feel like it?
No.
There's the honest heart saying there's the real. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Now, I love this next phrase here. The Lord is near. We might be doing this. we might be doing that a little bit. But as we walk with Jesus, God's going to get us back on the path. He's going to get us moving forward with his plan and destiny. And at the end, we're going to dance. And the dance that we're going to dance is that we're going to see people saved, set free, healed, the broken. You know, there's more joy in heaven over one person who gives. You imagine heaven. It's party time. Must be party time every day in heaven. Do you know what I mean? All the angels and all the people in heaven spinning around, rejoicing, you know, before God and just thanking. There's a party going on stairs. I'm not going to sing it. I'm not even going to dare to go near that song because I can't do it. But, you know, the Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Listen to the Amplified Version. This is what it says. That peace which transcends all understanding shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds. That peace is so powerful that it's like a garrison that mounts guard over your heart. Isn't that wonderful? Now just hear me out here. True peace is not found in positive thinking or in the absence of conflict or in feeling good. It comes from knowing that God is in control.
Amen.
Amen. Just say to your neighbor, God is in control. Why? Our citizenship in Christ's kingdom is sure. Our destiny is set. And we can have victory over sin. Let God's peace guard your heart against anxiety. Amen. The Lord is near. He's not far away. He's near. I want you to love this because I want you to look at me in a minute. And I just want you to, I don't know how, if you're going to see my face. In Robert Louis Stevenson's Story of a Storm, he described a ship caught off a rocky coast, threatening death to all on board. One of the terrified passengers made his way up to the pilot house, where the pilot was lashed to his post with his hands on the wheel, turning the ship little by little into the open sea. Can you imagine that picture there? You know, one of these big wheels and all the waves and the wind, and the pilot's got hold of this, you know, this wheel. And what happened? As this guy runs up to him, the pilot smiled at the man, who then rushed back to the deck below, shouting, "I've seen the face of the pilot. I've seen the face of the pilot and he's smiling. I've seen the face of the pilot and he's smiling." Well, when we see the face of God, he's smiling. We've seen the face of the pilot and he's always smiling. Amen. No matter what storm is happening now, we have this wonderful provision of the wonderful counselor. The wonderful counselor, the Holy Spirit, is guiding us and leading us into all truth. He's leading us always into looking at Jesus, speaking about Jesus, knowing Jesus, fixing our eyes on Jesus. What does it say? It says, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. That's why it's so important. I want you to see this now. Just go. Just look at me. God is doing this with you. He's doing this with you at this moment in time. He's smiling. This is like a grimace there, doesn't it? Something came across me there. He's doing this with you. He's smiling at you. Why? Because the pilot is in control. God is in control of your circumstances. We spoke a little bit about Job, and what I love about Job, he goes through all of this stuff. You know, all of the advice that all of his friends give him and everything that happens. This scripture isn't up there, so it's okay. But I love it. You go through everything. And Job comes to this conclusion. I had heard about you before, but now I've seen you with my eyes. I take back everything I said, and I sit in dust and ashes to show my repentance. Once he'd seen God, it changed for everything in his life. Once you've seen God and once you know God, it changes everything. It changes the big picture. Why was he, you know, in a sense, he was in repentance? Because, you know, when you meet God face to face, you're aware of his holiness, his awesomeness. And he was probably like, oh my goodness, I was questioning God. Do you remember what God's counter to him? Wasn't I the one that made the mountains? Wasn't I the one that created the earth? Wasn't I one that created the heavens? You know. Psalm 105, verse 4. Thank you. Look to the Lord in his strength. Seek his face always. When you draw near to the Lord, we see him there at the point of our pain. His presence calms us, bringing us reassurance that he can handle the situation and guide us through troubled waters. Some of us at the moment are on a journey. But the pilot is smiling. Some of us are on a journey at this moment in time. And God's saying to you, guys, keep your eyes on me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Don't keep your eyes on the circumstances. Yeah. Don't let them take you into doubt and fear and unbelief. Let's look at this number 6:24. Can I have this one? I love this one. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. As we turn our faces towards God, God is turning his face towards us. He's shining. He's pouring out his peace into our lives. Isaiah 26. This is just to convince you. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, whose thoughts are fixed on you. Have you realized throughout the day your thought life kind of goes up and down and changes a little bit? Have you realized that's just the one area where there seems to be a battle? There's a one area where you're having to take responsibility for. But when we keep our thoughts fixed on Jesus, when we fix our eyes upon him, the author and perfecter of our faith, we can never avoid strife in the world around us. But when we fix our thoughts on God, we can know perfect peace, even in turmoil. As we focus our mind on God and his word, we become steady and stable, supported by God's unchanging love and mighty power. We are not shaken by the surrounding chaos. It's true. This next bit now is going to be, it's really important that you just grab hold of the simplicity of this. God wants to say to some people in the room here, bring your mind into the mind of God. Bring your mind into the fullness of what he's doing. What we're doing there is we're getting God's perspective is critical. We can allow our hearts to get entangled in a lot of emotional pain, which distorts our personal perspective. Now listen to this. It isn't what happens to you that controls you. It is what you believe about the situation that controls you.
Yes.
I'll say that again. It isn't what happens to you that controls you. It's what you believe about the situation that controls you. Faith isn't denying the reality of your circumstances. Faith is denying that these circumstances, the right to remain in control of your life. Faith isn't denying the reality of your circumstances. Faith is denying these circumstances the right. They've got no right to remain in control of us. Why? Because God is in control. When we get the right perspective, when we get the right thinking. Picture of a balloon. Here we go. Here we go. There you go. Do you know what that is? That's Bertrand Piccard. Not the Starship man, I think the word Picard, is a famous Swiss balloonist along with Brian Jones. They were the first two to complete a non-stop balloon flight around the globe. Bertrand sees a similarity between the balloon flight and daily life. in the balloon, you are prisoners of the wind and go only in its direction. But you can change altitude. And when you change altitude, you can change direction. You are not a prisoner of the wind anymore. What does that mean for us? Likewise in life, people think that we are prisoners of the winds of adversity that blow against us. But we are not. We can change altitude, now listen to this, by changing attitude.
Yes. Come on.
You can change altitude by changing attitude. And the new attitude will carry you in the direction that God has got for you. Do you see that there?
Yeah.
What I'm going to do now is I'm going to just walk you through a story of an amazing story in the Old Testament to convince you, one, that God is in control and God can take the worst parts of our life and he can bring us into a place of freedom. But I want to talk to you about four lepers that actually went through a real challenging time in the Bible. It's in 2 Kings. So I'll just give you a little bit of a preamble. Four lepers, amazing story. I pray this morning it's going to liberate us and it's going to free us. These lepers were among the most marginalized people of the day, but despite their circumstances, they found a way to get past their past. Because of the leprosy, they were outcasts with no rights, no property, and no means of support. They weren't allowed to work, so every day they made their way to the city gate to beg for food and money. At the time of this story, there was also a famine in Samaria, so bad that the people were resorting to terrible ways to get food. I'm not even going to say what they did, but it was terrible. So that's the state. There was absolutely no food, no provision. Now they got their provision from begging. And there was nothing there to beg for. So 2 Kings 7, okay? Now there were four men with leprosy sitting at the entrance of the city gates. "Why should we sit here waiting to die?" they asked each other. "We will starve if we stay here, and we will starve if we go back into the city. So we might as well go out and surrender to the Aramaean army. If they let us live, so much the better. But if they kill us, we would have died anyway." Great story. So that evening they went out to the camp of the Aramaeans, but no one was there. A key to walking free from guilt and shame of our past is choosing to change your perspective. Because when you do, you can begin to change your posture. When you change your perspective, you can begin to change your posture. When you choose to focus more on what Jesus has done for you rather than what others have done for you or said, you will have faith to stand up and start moving forward. Remaining focused on your past hurt or offense will ensure you stay seated at the gate of offense. Sometimes in our lives, there are gates that the enemy sets up. And those gates, Jesus said, the gates of hell should not prevail, against the kingdom people and against the gates. But you see, what they bought into the lie that there was no hope. And some of us can buy into that lie that there's no hope. I need to look at things through God's eyes, through what Jesus has accomplished and through the power of the cross and resurrection. He bore my shame, so his perspective is much different from mine. He is fighting for me from a place of freedom.
Yes.
So that I might look at my future through the resurrection lens. He's fighting for me for my freedom.
Yeah.
And I can look through my future and through what's ahead of me through the lens of what Jesus has achieved in the resurrection. Instead of the shame lens. The enemy all the time wants us to look at wants to make us focus on our past, to focus on things that we've done. And wants us to to stay seated at a gate of constricting us. And he constricts a lot of us, I think, by lies. He tells us a lie long enough until we think it's part of us. Until you meet Jesus and until you know his word. When he speaks his word to you, Jesus says, you shall know the truth and the truth sets you free. The power of that truth penetrates your heart and your mind and breaks the power of a lie. Amen. And so we don't need to be confined to any gates in our life. When we choose to change our perspective, we don't need to sit in defeat at the gate of any shame. They had spent their whole lives sitting. They felt tied to the gates. The gates had become their security, their source of food and sustenance. They had survived so long at the gates, they didn't know how to do anything differently. But begging for food was no longer going to work. Do you see that, yeah? Their gate had brought them into a place where they think, this is all what we've done now. I've done this all the time. How do I get free? They had not realized that they were free to choose. They had begun to realize that they weren't powerless. They could make some decisions. They could get moving. Amen? Amen. Why should we sit here and waiting to die? They asked each other. We will starve if we stay here, and we will starve if we go back into the city. The problem about gates is that they can be intimidating. If you've drawn up to one of these like stately homes, like Woburn Park or something, you've got these massive gates there. There's a good reason for those gates. They stop the lions coming out. No, I think that they are caged inside that. They don't roam around towards the gate. But gates can be intimidating. We all have a choice whether to say sitting or to get up and get moving. Now, please get hold of this. The enemy always wants us to believe that we need to stop hurting before we can move. What a lie. Yeah. We must move forward even if it's painful. Yeah. Just because you're hurting and just because you're having to walk through something difficult and it could be intimidating, but when we don't want to listen to the lie of the enemy. We don't want to be intimidated by those gates. Now, 2 Kings 7, next one. 5 to 7. So the lepers risked it all. They got up and started moving. At dusk, they got up and went into the camp of the remains. This was a daring move for the lepers because they carried leprosy with them. They knew that they would find no welcome from anyone anywhere. Can you imagine this? What they looked like and just their whole appearance, you know, that they weren't exactly a beacon of life and a beacon of love. You know, they were going to walk into, in a sense, the enemy's camp and go, hey guys, you're going to accept us? You're going to love us? They had no provisions. They were thirsty and weak from hunger. But the security of the gate where they had begged for years may have been meager, but it was all that they knew. And they were leaving it for the unknown. But they did. They passed through their gate and went out toward the enemy camp. And when they did, a remarkable chain reaction was set in place. At dusk, they got up and went to the camp of the remains. When they'd reached the edge of the camp, not a man was there. For the Lord had caused the remains to hear the sound of chariots and horses and a great army. So they said to one another, look, the king of Israel has hired the Hittite, the Egyptian kings, to attack us. So they got up and fled in the dusk and abandoned their tents and their horses and donkeys. They left the camp as it was and ran for their lives. Isn't that wonderful? Can you see? What's happened is they had no hope of provision, no breakthrough. They changed their posture. They changed their attitude. Because they changed their attitude, they moved forward. They moved forward, you know, in a sense. And sometimes when we change our posture, some of us have been sitting down too long enough. We've got to stand up. We've got to move into and walk in the steps where God is walking us into. You know, it's like, God has asked me to do loads of things in context of my being the pastoral director. A lot of it, I don't like it. You know, I'm the safeguarding officer of the whole of Kingdom Faith. I've got, you know, there's masses of responsibility. But I'm not going to moan about it as my little I can't do it gate. I'm going to, yes, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Yeah, I want protection and freedom for all of our children and protection from, you know, I mean, in a sense. So I could have stayed confined, but then I go, no, I'm not going to stay confined because it's intimidating or it's fearful. Don't let fear or intimidation rob you.
That's right.
Yeah, don't let it rob you. Because you, as you get up and as you come forward and as you move forward in God's purposes, exciting things are going to happen. In you and through you. In concerning someone else's life.
That's right.
Yep. So while the lepers had been sitting at the gate, they had no idea that God was going to move. God had struck fear into the hearts of the enemy, which caused them to abandon their camp. You know, they all ran all of their provisions. 2 Kings, verse 7, verse 8 and 9. Next one, thank you. The men who had leprosy reached the edge of the camp, entered one of the tents and ate and drank. Then they took silver and gold and clothes and went off and hid them. I can imagine them like these giant squirrels. You know what I mean? Have you ever seen a squirrel? You know what I mean? It's got a focus in life, and its focus in life is nuts. Nuts, nuts, nuts. You know, what does it do? Bury it, drop it, bury it, drop it. Must have an amazing brain. It's probably got an amazing nose. Bury it, drop it. And they were like this. They, you know, you've seen these banquet things where people were stuffing their faces with food and it was all going all over them. And you can imagine of all that happening. But just listen at what happens, what transpires from this. They returned and entered another tent and took some things from it and hid it also. Then they said to each other, now here is the penny dropping this morning, right? That you just grab hold of this. This is the penny dropping. We're not doing right. See, if our freedom stays just in one place, where we become consumers of the blessing of God. See, they were consuming everything, all the plunder of the enemy. They were consuming it for out of desperation. But they came to this place, we're not doing right. This is a day of good news and we are not keeping it to ourselves. This is what you can do in your heart. This is a day of good news and I'm not keeping it to myself. If we wait until daylight, punishment will overtake us. Let's go at once and report this to the royal palace. Can you imagine the looks on the faces when they came back into the city? All of these guys were laden with food and provision. And if they'd got a donkey and a cart, I'd imagine they would have taken it all back. Can you imagine their shock and their delight, grabbing handfuls of food, gulping down fresh water, passing drinks for one another? The lepers found treasure, plentiful food and drink, because they exercised their freedom to choose. They chose to get moving. They didn't hoard all of the blessings they encountered. They shared all the wealth with everyone. Can you imagine the looks on the faces of the gatekeepers when they heard of such incredible news? Can you imagine the most broken person here that's been set free by God, going, walking into the middle of Worthing and going, silver and gold I haven't got, but all that I have I give for you. That silver and gold is so precious that it sets another person free who is completely broken and busted up. See, our freedom is not just about ourselves. Our freedom is about someone else. Those four lepers, once sitting and starving, became the voice of freedom to an entire besieged city. Can you see that? They became the voice of freedom. You can become the voice of freedom for your neighbours. Amen. Just smile at me now. It is good news. You can become the voice of freedom. We don't need to be bound by the past, bound by the enemy, bound by what things he said to, you know, the enemy said to us. Because they are dead to change their perspective and change their posture. To go from passively sitting to standing and moving, they motivated an entire city to action and brought an end to everyone's starvation. That's the great news about freedom. Once you've tasted it, we want to help everyone else taste it too and experience the same hope of that salvation.
Yeah.
I really want to encourage you, and I am with total conviction going to plug this. In your heart, okay, this, I'm not saying this from a point of pressure. I've been through the Freedom Course. You know, this is 27 years of ministry. I've been through the Freedom Course, and when I went over to the States, and I had this encounter time, God delivered me and set me free from issues in my own life that I thought were all sorted. I thought I got it all together. And I remember sitting there with as Pastor Clive on one side and Simon Coles on the other, and I was just blubbing. I was just crying about something that God brought up in my heart that I didn't even realize that I know it was there. You see, we could be sitting at a gate of pride saying, I don't need to be that course. No, I am a believer. I am free. Well, I tell you, Jesus wants to set us free. There's freedom and there's freedom. So the freedom that he wants to set us free of, really, is those things in our lives that have bound us. God has called you to be a light, and a light to the city, a light to your neighbors. See, pride will always stop us from moving forward. If it's a gate of offense, well, I'm not doing it because that person's, you know, I haven't forgiven them. Whatever gate it is, let's just get over ourselves. Amen? Let's get over ourselves. The course is just a tool. Jesus is the one who's going to cause freedom to come into your life.
Yeah.
Jesus is the one that's going to want to bring liberty. So why the liberty? We can be like these lepers. Why the liberty? Because God wants to use you. God, not use in a negative sense, but he wants his life and freedom to flow through you to touch someone else. Amen?
Yeah.
Taste and see that the Lord is good. 2 Corinthians 5, this isn't a slate. It is our love for Christ that compels us to action. Of course, I'm not going to beat anybody else about over the head to sign up for a course. I want to envision you that the course is incredibly powerful. I went for years in my own life thinking, you know, there was nothing there. And when I put myself under the Word of God with other brothers and sisters, where we walked on a journey together, because that 12-week, you know, course is about, you know, about feeding on the Word and feeding on together. And when I walked through that and came out the other side, you know, what was that freedom about? I can guarantee you, the first person that God drops in, when you're free, the first person that God will drop a person in front of you has got a situation in their life, and you go, "Ha! Huh, free people can free people.
Yeah.
Bound people can't free people."
Yeah.
So I really want to encourage you. This Freedom Course is not a bolt-on. This is part of Kingdom of Faith's, in a sense, going to be part of our DNA. Twice a year we're going to do it. But we don't want to be taking the same people through every year, three or four times. We want to see the broken and the needy come through. We want them to know God, find freedom. Yeah? Know their purpose, you know exactly, you know, what's God for them. God has got for them. But you are free to choose to get up, to get moving into the beautiful future that God has for you. So put your eyes on the road ahead and get to moving. Choices do determine destiny. If there's any gates today, you know, where you haven't forgiven someone or something's happened, or, you know, don't sit at that gate. Don't be intimidated by the gate of the enemy. Make a choice. Like those lepers made a choice. Actually, I'm going to choose.
Yeah.
I'm going to choose to walk the path that God's got for me. Choices do determine destiny. God has given you the power to choose, and he's also given you the strength to walk in his steps. See, we started this journey out, didn't we? There may be people in your road, you know what I mean? You're walking in this place, and you're walking with Jesus, and you're walking closely with him, and all of a sudden, God brings you into a place of freedom and liberty. That's my best I could do to dancing there. You know, God moves you into that. You see, that freedom is not just it's not a self-containment thing. That freedom is infectious. Because when you come up to someone who's busted and broken, you go, do you know what? I actually know someone that can help that, heal that broken heart. And that person's called Jesus. I want to show you how much he set me free. I want to show you. Do you see what I'm saying? Love, as Andrew said, has to have an outworking. So we're going to do something now. Is that okay?
Yes.
We're going to respond to God in our hearts. Now, what I'd love us to do, don't do this out of now the word response comes. You've now grabbed the corners of your chair and you're going, I am not moving. No, don't do that. It's the last thing I'm going to do is now move. But I want to encourage you that you're making a statement today. I'm going to choose to walk out. I'm not going to be intimidated by any gates. If you are, if there's some stuff in your life where there's, you know, there's shame or guilt or pain and the enemy is using it, you say, I'm not going to believe that rubbish anymore. God has dealt with my shame. God has dealt with my past. But also, I think it almost like a prophetic statement this morning. You know, I just really want to encourage you for the Freedom Group, the Freedom Groups, the sign-ups. It's not about you. It's about someone else, okay? And what I'm going to ask you to do, all I'm going to ask you to do, but make that response in your heart. Let it be real in your heart. But come forward just to say, God, I'm getting up out of my position now and I'm going to walk towards you. I'm going to walk in step with you. I want to walk in freedom. I don't know what that is going to look like, but I know it's going to be glorious and it's going to be good. Amen. And as you do that, all we're going to do is we're going to worship. Is that all right? And you're going to just respond in your hearts to the Lord. All we're going to do is worship. So don't grip your seat. It's about someone else's freedom now. It's about someone else's life now. Jesus has set you free. That freedom is going to make such a difference. Freedom is a person. Jesus is the one that sets us free. So, is that okay? Do you want to stand?
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.